Chapter 1. Aaron. I stood at the window, naked, staring out at the New York skyline. Even as the clock had ticked closer to midnight, I'd found myself wide awake, and I had eventually given up on getting to bed at a decent hour. My mind raced with the plans I had for the next day, plans that would take me far away from the expensive hotel room I was currently staying in, far away from the sleeping woman I'd be leaving in a few minutes. I hadn't caught her name, a rarity for me, but not necessarily unheard of. She'd provided me with the distraction I needed from my demanding work life, and I'd provided her with an evening of explosive orgasms she could gush about to her other single friends. It was a mutually beneficial arrangement of the oldest and simplest kind.
"You sure we haven't met before?"
she'd asked as she'd slithered closer, pressing her hot, slender body against my side.
"I swear I've seen you around."
Of course she had. Hell, everyone had. That spread Forbes magazine had done on me last year had skyrocketed my already considerable notoriety, making it difficult to hide that I was the Aaron Patterson, advertising mogul and so-called boy genius. At 32, I was hardly a boy anymore. But the name had stuck with me through college, and after years of trying to shake it off, I had leaned into it. It reminded people that I was the youngest self-made billionaire in New York, that I was still hungry, still full of new ideas and wild innovations. And if they still managed to forget, I was all too happy to remind them. "I'm sure," I had said. Tonight, I hadn't wanted to be Aaron Patterson. Tonight I wanted to be a nameless stranger who gave this woman the time of her life. Someone who could let go and enjoy the night. Enjoy her. I'd gotten to my feet, had downed the rest of my whiskey, and had set my glass on the bar. "How about you come back to my room, so we can get better acquainted?" The sex had been good. Not great, but good enough to satisfy my libido for the time being. Good enough to give me that satisfied ache in my hips and shoulders that told me I'd gotten in an extra workout, on top of the daily cardio and weight sessions I always got in before breakfast. Deciding I had lingered long enough, I turned from the view to retrieve my discarded clothes. The woman slept on, undisturbed, as I got dressed. Not that I expected her to wake up for several hours yet. She had already been 2 drinks in when she'd approached me, and if the alcohol hadn't made her tired, I certainly had. I'd paid for the room through the night, so she'd be fine until mid-morning. By then, I'd be sitting in my weekly staff meeting, forgetting the color of her hair and the shape of her face. I dressed in record time, not bothering to slip on my suit jacket and slinging it over my shoulder instead. It was mid-August, and the humid air pressed in on me as I strolled out the front door of the chat wall. My driver, Charlie, stood outside the town car, a styrofoam coffee cup clutched in his meaty hand. As I approached, he hurriedly straightened his stance, lowering the cup from his lips. "Good evening, Mr. Patterson," he greeted me, trying to appear awake. He'd sounded groggy when I had called him to request a pickup, and I suspected he'd been fast asleep just seconds prior. But he hadn't complained. In fact, Charlie never complained about the ungodly hours I kept. It was one of the reasons I had kept him on for so long. I climbed into the back seat. "Home."
"Yes, sir."
Charlie shut the door and hurried around to the front seat. Exhausted, I laid my head back against the headrest and closed my eyes. Just because I had a reputation for pulling all-nighters and getting so worked up by a new idea that I couldn't sleep for more than 2 hours at a time didn't mean that I was above human failings, such as fatigue. By the time I opened my eyes again, Charlie had pulled up outside my apartment. "Be back at 7:30 sharp," I said, straightening my cuffs as I stepped out of the car. "I have a meeting at 8 I will not be late for." I slammed the door before he'd even opened his mouth to respond. After all, I already knew he would agree. He, like many other in my employ, knew better than to turn me down. Once inside my 2-story loft, I finally let myself relax. There were perks to living alone, a list I had readily available any time my mother asked why I hadn't married yet. Everything stays in its place. It's always quiet. Nothing changes unless I want it to. Any time I listed the items off, she would roll her eyes and pat my arm. But I knew it saddened her.